the main thing is we sent a letter on July 17th to the Indiana Department of Homeland Security pre-construction. And there's, like I say, we're in the litigation stage, so I have to be very careful. But we feel like we have, we've done everything that we're supposed to do. We've met the terms and conditions of the grant, and we've met all the obligations on permitting and those things. Obviously, there we're trying to deal with two agencies. This is the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, which is basically the administrator for the FEMA program. And so, in some ways, we feel like we're there's maybe some a lot of things going on outside of our decision making. But as you can see, if you go by there today, we're under construction, and we have a project that we've been working on for a couple of years. It was very public, we just need to get this completed, and hopefully this litigation will expedite that.
And there were revisions to the project too, but those were not, I guess, acceptable.
There's been a little. They actually, some of the suggestions they suggested, we made some immediate revisions. And I try to tell people, we're talking about 70, maybe 75 older inner city small lots in a concentrated area. And the total number of parcels that were obtained through a federal grant were 7 or 8, I think. And some of them are immediately around the stadium. Some are even as far as a block away. So, anyways. Hopefully better news next, a better update next month.
Yeah. I heard you mention, you have talked about this at, last night, I believe, too, at your...
I did.
Announcement for re-election, but saying that this is a lot of big government.
I mean big government over here. I mean, this is, we all see it from time to time. Our state has sued the federal government over, the Affordable Care Act, EPA regulations, over immigration policy. And now we're feel like it's kind of being pushed our way as well, and that we need these were to go back. This was an area that was a tough area of town, and older homes, most of them were rental properties, and most people didn't live there by choice. These they've experienced a lot of damage to their homes over the years. It was always the first area to flood in the city, and so we feel like this was a good program and a good reuse of the facility or of those properties to create this facility. So,
and last question on that:
sure.
Where are we now in this?
We actually filed a lawsuit against the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, and it was in the Marion County, Indianapolis court, and that was just done on Monday the 26th. So, I don't even think there's a court date set at this time. So.
Okay. There are many pieces of legislation making their rounds through the State House. It's been interesting talking to different mayors in different cities about what they seem to be keeping an eye on. Is there anything in particular that you have been watching?
There's quite a few things, mostly as it relates to, in general, to cities and towns. I know that some of the annexation proposals, there's a lot of ideas and legislation proposed around that. There's even the talk of commuter taxes and some of those things. And we're watching all of it as closely as we can, and mainly through my involvement with the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns. In fact, I have later this week, we have an update. We have a meeting down in Indianapolis to go over some of those proposals and updates on where they're going through committee. But there's always a concern when the legislature is in session, what could have an impact on cities and towns. I'm always concerned as well outside of city government, but as obviously a taxpayer and a parent, I'm always concerned too about changes to school funding formulas and how that would impact our urban schools. And there's a lot of ideas being passed around in the halls that would shift to private schools and charter schools, and take away from our public education system. And so I always try to keep a close eye on that as well.
We have a report from the city on how major crimes are down about 24%
on average.
On average in Kokomo.
Yeah.
How many years was that?
We looked at the last 7 years. What we wanted to do was not get a snapshot of 1 week or 1 month or even 1 year. We wanted to look and it was basically a way to look at some of our policies on stricter code enforcement, blight elimination, more focus on community policing, and see how maybe some of those policies and our continued investment in some of the older parts of the city might have an impact on crime. So we were, that's really what we wanted to gauge, kind of these last 7 years with the previous 7 years. And we looked at seven major categories, everywhere from murder to armed robberies, just about assaults, all the more violent crimes, and even included, I think, automobile theft. And every category was down, and basically collectively it was about 24% overall. So we feel like we're heading in the right direction, and these are, you know, and as I try to remind people, these last 7 years have been a little tougher economically than the prior 7 years. So with a tougher economic climate, we feel like we're trending in the right direction.
Is there one specific area that you saw come down considerably? In terms of the crime, you said there were different areas.
Even the murder rates over the seven-year period were down 55%. I don't know if that was the largest, but that's really, as my chief was going over some of the numbers, that's one that once I saw that was substantial, I thought, let's go ahead and let's track these last five or six other categories to see if it's just murders or is it some of the other categories as well, and it was every single one.
And would you say that are there more police officers or better training?
We actually are running the city with less police officers than when we came in. But I think a lot of it is we have focus. When I came in, we had a lot of captains, which is an upper level, not obviously underneath the chief and the assistant chiefs, but we had 13 captains. We have reduced that to six, some through attrition and reassignments. But we feel like we have more officers out there on the street, and we focused on bicycle patrols. And we even do during our summer festivals do horse patrols, just to make it part. If we're going to have an officer's presence there, we want it to be something that is positive and part of the entertainment as well. That's something for kids to see.
Taking a look back to 2014, do you have one thing that you'd say was your biggest accomplishment from last year?
I'd have to think about it. But honestly, I'm very proud that my peers elected me. I'm the first vice president. Duke Bennett is the president of the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, and I was elected at our fall conference as the first vice president. So that's a lot of recognition. But the joke is we spend as much time looking forward as don't spend too much time in reflection. But that means a lot to me. So I'm excited to have that role this year.
And you've officially announced that you are running for a third term now, looking ahead, though you've already hinted you would, so not a big surprise, but why?
Well, cities are changing, and I try to tell everybody, everything I read shows that there are cities that are going to have a really, they're going to struggle and have a tough time over the next decade or two. These are critical times. As the population shifts in this country to an urbanized area, people are going to have a lot of choices on where they live. And then there's going to be those cities that are probably going to make it. I mean, if you have they've positioned themselves well over the last 20 years, they'll make it. And those that won't, and then there are, I feel like, those cities that are in the middle that could go either way based on the decisions that the community leaders make. And I feel like we're still in that, I feel like we're trending in the right direction, and everything's pointing that way, but we have to continue the momentum. And you know, we have 8 of our 9 city council members. I tell people we have the best city council in the state. 8 of 9 are running for re-election, and that's from both parties. And I'm excited about them and their commitment to continue another 4 years. So there's just, you know, there's too many things that I just think we're on the cusp of accomplishing. And I think we can do the, you know, make a lot of inroads in a short amount of time these next 4 years.